for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is a Saturday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Service, July the 5th, 2008. Nancy Rosario is the speaker of this service, teaching on Hill of Beams.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Ladies and gentlemen that are still around, we welcome you to our last day of the total ministry. This is when the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Amen. But we thank God. How many have truly been blessed?
Oh, yeah.
How many have just received what you wanted, and then some? Because I received, I'm telling you, my cup runneth over. It's just overflowing. It's just overflowing. So I thank God for the privilege that He gives for all of us to sit here together. And it's a time where I teach, but I learn from you, you learn from me. This afternoon, I'd like us to go to 2 Samuel, chapter 23. And I'm going to read two verses there. 2 Samuel, chapter 23. When you have it, just say amen. 2 Samuel, chapter 23. Okay, let us look at verse 11 and 12. It says, and this particular chapter speaks about the three mighty men of David when they were always fighting against the Philistines. And this particular verse in 2 Samuel 23, chapter 23, verse 11 and 12 says, and after him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Now take a look where he says there was a field full of lentils. In 1 Chronicles, it says a field full of barley. But for the sake of today, we're going to stick to a field full of lentils. Now what are lentils? They're beans. Exactly. Now you've heard, I think somebody used it yesterday, you've heard people say, well, you know, I don't give a hill of beans about what you say. Or, I don't care a hill of beans about what this says. Yeah, you hear it. But, in this case, Shammah gave a hoot about the hill of beans. Okay? And today, I'm here to tell you that your hill of beans is your home, is your family. That is your legal ground. God has given that to you. And you must stand and fight for your hill of beans. You all heard Carla's testimony when she preached the other night. She fought, is fighting, and will continue to fight by the grace and strength of God for her hill of beans. Victory. Absolutely. And today, you, each of you here, you must hold on to your hill of beans. You got to give a heck about your hill of beans. Because the enemy sure is not. Had Shammah not decided to stand there and defend his ground, the Philistines would have wrought a victory. But he stood in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. How do you defend your hill of beans? Number one, as you've all been learning here, you break those generational curses. Those generational curses that enter into your home because of your life, because of your past parents, of your grandparents, of your great-grandparents, they bring all this baggage with you. So you have learned here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp how to break those generational curses. And what you have inherited after those generational curses are broken and continue to be broken, what you begin to inherit is generational blessings.
Yes, yes.
And I believe that, and I've been preaching it for the past couple of years very strong. I break the generational curses, but I am now in charge of the generational blessings.
Yes.
My parents did not know about generational curses. By the grace of God, I learned about it. I started to break them, but then the Lord brought me another round circle and gave me another teaching. Now I begin a general blessing for me, for my children, my children's children, until the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th generation. So now that we've broken the generational curses in our lives, for our home, for our children, now we must guard the generational blessing. You cannot go back to where you came from. Having begun in the flesh, and we want to end in the spirit. So we guard the generational blessing. How do you guard the generational blessing? You start from yourself. You start it in your own soul. You know how people sometimes, when you get an apple and people see a wormhole in it, they're like, ugh, I don't want to eat it because, you know, there's a worm in it. Well, I'm here to tell you, while that apple is a seedling and it's there, the worm wraps itself in the seedling and it grows inside the apple. So what's happening when you see the wormhole, it isn't that the worm went in, it's that the worm came out. And inside of us, we were wormwood. There was a lot of ugly worms from generational curses. And when the Lord started binding those curses and casting out those demons from our generations past, that worm began to come out from that seedling that was in you and out and gone into the pit of wherever the Lord wants to send them. Because all we do is rebuke them. I figured let the angels of the Lord take them where they have to take them. Okay? So we guard the generational blessing. We give a hoot about our hill of beams. Amen? Amen. Let us turn to Romans. And I have to take what Brother Clemens said this morning, where he said that the book of Romans is like your Bill of Rights and the Constitution of the Kingdom. Well, let us go to Rome, where Paul wrote his letter to the Romans. And let us go to the house on 12th Street and house number 2. Okay? And on a little side information here, as I was talking about the apple and the worm, they spoke here something about insects and mosquitoes, how they bite and they sting you. Well, I'm here to tell you, the mosquito that stings is the female mosquitoes. It's the female, not the male. Because the female needs your blood to keep those eggs going. Okay? Thank God that Jesus Christ shed his blood for us because he wanted to protect us. He wanted to protect us. So you see, even with the insects, we learn the teaching. They feed on the blood to keep their young eggs. Jesus Christ shed his blood to give us life. Just like that female mosquito wants to give life to those eggs, the Lord shed his blood to give you and me life. Amen. Let's go to Romans 12. Like I said, 12th Street, house number 2 and 3. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And verse 1, let me go to verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The reason I wanted to read number 2, it says, and be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You cannot defend your hill of beans, your home, your life, if your mind has not been renewed. Okay? You cannot defend yourself with the old mind of this world. It has to be renewed. Our minds are very important in determining where we stand spiritually. There is no middle ground with regard to whether we are on the side of heaven or on the side of the world. You can't be on either. There is no middle ground. You want to defend your ground. You want to defend your fertile ground. You want to defend your hill of beans. There can't be no middle ground. You've got to be on the side of heaven or you're going to be on the side of the world. What happens over time when we begin to just use our own mind without giving the will of God, without giving thought to the will of God, you've seen in our country what's happening when men have begun to use their own mind instead of following that God created this country according to His will and by His precepts. You know what happens? The Ten Commandments have become taboo within our courts. Homosexuality has been endorsed by some denominations. Evolution is now taught as a fact in our schools. Abortion has now fancy names like pro-choice and freedom of women's rights. Homosexuality is now termed as an alternative lifestyle. Okay? We've changed all these names and given all these fancy names because we have taken our mind off the mind of God and the will of God. Stand your ground. Fight for your hill. Fight for your life. This is your life. Nobody else is going to live your life. People will criticize you. People will tell you all sorts of different lies and deception. And the enemy will use anything and anyone to discourage you. You heard them. I mean, every message here has been so in tune with the Holy Spirit just pouring out what He wants each and every one of us to learn. Not to be free, but to stay free. There is such a difference, a big difference in coming up here and being set free. But the most important action that you can take is to stay free. Because those demons that are cast out, if you're not renewed in your mind, they are waiting right out there. They cannot stand to be in the sanctuary where the angels of the Lord are. But they are in some corner waiting to just go back in because you have not been renewed in your mind. And you know how you get renewed in your mind? Studying this word. The word. Not fancy and eloquent messages, but messages of truth. The truth casts out the lie. Your hill of beans is like your tower. And I'm going to give you a little historical area here. In biblical times, the walls around a city, okay, were built for battle. We have been created for battle. Okay? Not only were the walls thick and strong for protection. Now, as women, imagine your uterus, your womb, when that baby is growing. Do you see how thick and strong those walls are that protect that child? I remember when I was pregnant from my son, Jamel, I came down the stairs and I slipped on ice and I just, plump, I fell right on my rear end. And I just stood there. I said, oh, my God, the baby. And I was like 8 months. But I got up and I felt. And he was kicking up a storm. I said, okay, he's all right. I said, he's protected. There's thick walls protected. And in spite of it, I was due in February. I ended up giving birth in January 3rd. So he came out a little, not premature, but preterm. Okay? Well, he was supposed to, but he didn't want to because I was 32 hours in labor. Okay? But he was protected. So not only were the walls thick and strong for protection, but towers were erected within the walls. This is the walls. Picture the walls. Here's the tower. From the tower, you gain perspective. You see your whole city. Okay? And military leaders, we've talked, and Brother Chip spoke a lot about, he gave a lot of military examples. Military leaders stationed themselves up in those towers to see the attack and to position the forces of that city to counterattack. The attacking forces that were out there knew if they could climb up the wall, scale that wall, and capture those in the towers, they would win the battle. Because if they captured those in the towers, if they scaled up the wall and captured the ones that were in the towers that were overseeing, then they would not be able to tell the other soldiers that they were being attacked. They would just be able to gain into the city. By capturing the city's perspective, which was the man in the tower. They crumbled the city's protection. The walls were torn down. Picture your life as a city. Picture your home spiritually and physically, all the walls of your home, which include your children, your furniture, everything that in there is in that home is yours. In your job, in your office, in your little area where you work, picture that as a city. Your values are the walls of that city. Okay? And your mind is the tower. Can you imagine? Your mind is the tower. Satan knows that if he can capture your mind, he can crumble your values. He can crumble your values to include even how to discipline your children, how to make choices in your life. He brings in decision because he crumbles your values. And if he crumbles your values, he controls your life. Do you want to be controlled by the enemy? When you came in here, or years before you accepted the Lord, was your life in control of the enemy? That is why this unseen war is a never-ending fight between God and Satan for the tower of your mind. Our mind plays a lot of influence. It's the tower. So picture this is the tower that protects everything else. If Satan gains control here, everything else, your whole city, your whole life, everything comes tumbling down. That's why you see people in mental institutions, in asylums, and you see people with mental illnesses, because the enemy captures your mind and he brings every kind of deception. Romans 12:2, as we read, states that if Satan sits in your tower, he will conform you to the ways of this world. But if God sits in your tower, he will transform you to the ways of God. I'd rather be in the ways of God than in the ways of the world. Why? Because when I was in the world, I was a mess. My life was a mess. I thought. You thought you were doing well. Until, boom, one day, the Lord came and he put a little light in your life. And he lit you up and you realized, wow, there's something better. Okay? Some of us knew that there was something better. I knew that there was something better, but I didn't know how to find it. But I knew that God existed until one day at the age of 22 when a spirit of not of suicide had wanted to enter my life. Okay? Didn't get to do it because I didn't want to really die. But a spirit of, you know, what they mentioned, cutting, I would try to cut myself or something. And one day, just before, I think it was my 23rd birthday, I remember going, yelling up, like, I think my daughter said it this morning. She said, help! And I remember saying, Lord, if you really exist, if there is truly a God, change my life. Please do something with my life. I am so tired. I'm so tired. That's all I kept saying. I'm so tired. And the enemy puts that in you, a spirit of tiredness, a spirit of weariness, so that you want to give up. Because now he has controlled your mind and he wants you to give up on yourself, to give up on life. But there's always that faithful remnant, that guardian angel that puts in a little doubt and says, if there is a God, if you really exist, do something in my life. Boy, and lo and behold, he did. I don't remember to this day how I ended up working at this place called the Hunts Point Market in an office, and three girls were there. They were Christian. And to this day, I try to think back, how did I get there? I don't remember how I even applied. I don't remember filling out an application. I don't remember getting an interview. It's like there's a part of my life that's just like blank, and it's like all of a sudden, boom, I was working in this place, and I don't know if I was transformed because I don't remember what occurred between that prayer. And it's like I was sitting in the Huntsman Market, and I was working there, and three of the sisters there were Christians. And they invited me to a Pentecostal church, and they were arguing religion. They were arguing about who worships Mary, who worships Jesus, and all that. So I came out, and I entered into a dialogue. God led the way. And I ended up in a Christian church, and here I am. By the grace of God. Okay? But moving on. Both Satan and the Satan and God, of course, know and understand that there is a connection from your head, your tower, to your heart. From your heart come your values. Okay? To your hands. Your hands are the ones that go to the plow. What you think here is here, and then you act on it. If you think in your mind, my life is worthless, it's weary, your heart gets hardened, your heart feels lonely and weary, and then before you know it, your hands begin to take action. You either end up on drugs, end up committing suicide, end up doing things with your hand that you would never have imagined yourself to do. So you see how the three continue to work? From what you think, to what you believe, to what you do. And both are fighting for the tower in your mind. The place that Satan will attack for his advantage and your disadvantage is your mind. Satan will attack your mind theologically and emotionally. Look at Colossians 1:21. It says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have you been redeemed." He attacks to make your mind an enemy of God. Or worse, if you don't become an enemy of God, you know what you become? A Christian anemic for God. Have you seen Christian anemics? That they walk around just, you know. And those Christian anemics, there are many of them that are given false teachings. Titus 1:11 says that whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not to, for filthy lucre's sake. If he cannot make you an enemy of God, he will make you so down on yourself that your life becomes anemic for God. You have come here to Lake Hamilton to be renewed. Sometimes we become anemic because we get hit left and right, and we grow tired, and we grow weary, and our battle, the battle scars keep us from focusing. And many of us came here to get refreshed, to get a new anointing. If you haven't gone to the river like those youth did, maybe we ought to. It'll be fun. And tonight, some of them are going to be blessed by going into that river and getting new waters of life. Spiritual warfare consists of struggling against evil forces where? In our mind. This battle is not fought, as you have noticed, on a physical plane, but rather on a spiritual one. See, Satan is not omnipresent. He cannot be everywhere at once. But you know what he does? He works through a network of demon spirits. And these launch fiery darts. Ephesians 11 tells us, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts." And those fiery darts come in one of three forms: temptations, deception, and accusation. How many have gone through temptation? How many have gone through deception, have been deceived? How many have been accused? Okay. Dart number one, temptation. See, the devil tempted Eve in the garden because he had no place in Eve's life, but he wanted one. If Satan wants more legal ground in our lives, you can expect some temptations to come your way. That's his way of getting you to fall and give him a place to operate. How does he bring that temptation? If he causes you to sin, you have given him legal right to bring a temptation into your life. I remember years back, maybe about 10, 11 years back, in my home, our marriage, the enemy had attacked our marriage, my husband and I. And things were coming every which way. Deception, accusations, temptations. And as pastors, you have what Brother Ron was speaking about, you know, Pentecostal witches that come into your church, charismatic witches, the Jezebel spirit. And thank God they never created, there was a shield, a block that was there, but they came. And as these things happen, the enemy starts then bringing thoughts into your mind, deceiving thoughts. You see, you know what you believe, but you see what's not there.
And I got into a habit of joking around, and it was bad. And I had to, the Lord, you know, everything that you say comes to pass. And I got into a habit of joking around with my husband because, you know, we had been in the ministry a couple of years. And I got into the habit of saying something like, well, you know, with the ladies, we used to hang around with the sisters in church, and we used to kind of joke around about, you know, the Jezebel spirits and the women coming in and all that, and the pastors, because it happens. That's the reality of a pastoral life. And I used to joke around with him saying, well, I trust your love, but I don't trust your body. And people used to laugh. I said, yeah, I trust his love. I know he loves me. I don't trust his body because the body, you know, wants to go one way, and I know he loves me. So it was something that you joke about things, and then later on, you know, your mouth, it's volcanic. You throw out some lava, it's going to burn you. So I'd rather just have some flowery words coming out, and the best words that can come out of my mouth is this word. I don't want to hear anything else but just God's word pouring out of my mouth because it brings life. Any other words or my own personal opinion, your own personal opinion, will bring death. You can pronounce death upon your children. Spiritual death, by calling them things like, oh, you're a dummy, you'll never amount to anything, or you're always going to be this way. Our oldest daughter, who's here in Texas, was just, the Lord brought this revelation to her. She has four sons. And the last one she had died at the age of 13. He was born with a heart condition. And when we were in Beaumont, in Texas now, when the conference finished, we were having our last breakfast in the morning. And she said, she was talking, I think Sister Jerry McGee was preaching that morning, and she was speaking about the daddy syndrome. So as we sat having breakfast, she tells my husband, you know, Dad, she said, there's a lot of things that I have forgiven in my heart because you grow and you mature. She said, but there was one thing that I still realized this morning that I hadn't forgiven you for. And, you know, he looked at her like, I've been a good dad. What could it be? And she said, you remember and when we used to go to, when we used to send us to Puerto Rico, she said, and one of our uncles, she said, he used to, you know, bother us, kind of molest us. Says he never did anything sexual, but he used to molest us, try to grab us and all that. And I used to get mad because I said, I don't know why Daddy is sending me to Puerto Rico. I'm so mad at him. I'm angry at him. And she carried that. She's now 40 years old. And she told him, and you know, I was carrying that, she said, until this morning. She said that I prayed and I said, Lord, I forgive my father for thinking that he wasn't protecting me. And of course, he made an excuse. Oh, but you know, I sent you to Puerto Rico. She says, no, but I kept telling you that I didn't want to go, or we didn't want to go, my sisters and me. And she said, and you would say, ah, you would stop me from talking. And Angela Pastor says, yeah, he does that. He stops you from talking. He's like, oh, shit, shut up. You're just going to do it. So we all started laughing. But then she made another observation. She said, and I remember, she said, I must have been about 10 or 11 years old, and I remember sitting on that sidewalk in Puerto Rico and looking up, and I said, Lord, I never want to have a daughter. And she always wondered. She says, I got four boys. She says, and, you know, it was eight girls and two boys. So she said, you know, and she loves, she's very good with her hands. She, you know, she does all kind of frilly things and arts and crafts and all that. So she was always looking forward to a girl, you know, with the pigtails and the pink dresses and all, you know, the cute little things we put on little girls. And she said, and she kept wondering, she says, four boys. And then after the last one, she didn't have any more. But she made that observation. And what I'm saying is that many things we say out of our mouth, sometimes in ignorance, come to pass. So I used to joke about that. I used to say, I trust his love but not his body. And then I started realizing, stop it. And I said, wow. Because things were coming our way and hitting us left and right. And when I finally said, okay, this is it. I'm going to stop. And I started to pray. Everything started to manifest. And you know what was the great thing? The Spirit of Truth entered our home. And when that Spirit of Truth entered, things began to come out of our mouths, and we were able to talk to each other. We were able to say the weaknesses that were there, the temptations that were coming. We were able to connect. The theme of the youth, are you connected? We were able to connect. And what happened when the Spirit of Truth entered in? The next thing that the Lord told us to do, He wanted us to do a cleansing, a spiritual cleansing. So for 40 days, the Lord took us into a spiritual cleansing. And the cleansing was that we would go to church on a Tuesday and on a Sunday, give the Bible studies, and the Lord would tell us, do not touch anyone. Leave and just go. And don't talk to anyone. Don't touch anyone. Leave. That was the cleansing. We were not to touch anyone in the church or walk out. And on Sunday, we'd have to walk out. And after a while, the deacons and the ushers were like, what's with the pastors? You know, they just come and preach and they leave. They don't greet anybody. They don't do anything. But the Lord told us, do not explain to anyone anything. Just go. Run for your life. Run to the hills. Defend your hill of beans. And that's what we did for 40 days. Then after we finished the 40 days, then the Lord said, now the church. 40 days of cleansing. I said, how are we going to do that? The Lord said, prayer. So we had the church in prayer for 40 days. Whoever wants to come. And they just came. And then the Lord started just cleansing out, cleansing out. But during those 40 days of our cleansing, that we used to go to church and come home, and he had us praying over our home, praying over everything, anointing the walls, anointing the furniture, cleansing, throwing out every unclean object that I had. The Lord started to reveal objects in my house, gifts that were given to me. I had to go into my jewelry box and throw out things that were given to me by friends, woman friends, things that were given to my husband, even by the people in the church. The Lord said, cleanse it. Some things he told us to throw out, some things he told us to cleanse. The Lord tells you to do a spiritual cleansing. You ladies, we have to do cleansing in our homes many, many, many times. People can give us things, gifts. Cleanse some of them, you can pray over and throw out. Others, you need to have them cleansed. Because demons attach themselves to objects. They attach themselves to objects. And would you believe, somewhere in those 40 days, I go to my kitchen, and we always have the windows closed because we have air conditioning throughout the entire townhouse. When I go into the kitchen, and I'm looking out the window, looking at the trees, when I look down at the windowsill on the outside, there must have been about 100 or 200 fruit flies, dead. Dead all along the windowsill. All you saw was this line of like silvery green, you know, the fireflies, they have the color. And I'm looking, I called and I said, honey, look at this. And when we saw that, the Lord revealed the cleansing, all those things. Because the fly, you know, the fly, it says it spoils the perfume. Yes. Cleansing your home is as you go around. I'll give you an example so you could understand something. I'll give you two examples. I went before this cleansing began, and like I said, the enemy tempts you, deceives you, and you go out and all of a sudden, you know, your mind is, you think you're spiritual, but you're not. Because your mind is double-minded. You're in church praising God, and you can't even be teaching, you know, deliverance and all that. But there are times when you forget. That's why these camps and these things are very important in conferences, because we, as humans, we tend to forget that we're in warfare. We become complacent. We think, okay, everything is going fine, there's nothing. But just when you think things are going fine, the enemy is looking for little things, because we give him legal right even when we don't realize. You step into the wrong place, you're giving him legal ground. So during that time, before the cleansing, I went into an art shop, and I saw this beautiful painting. It was a nice piece of work of art, and it was an Oriental man sitting by this beautiful river and an Oriental woman just laying across, you know, his thigh. And it, to me, was so romantic, so beautiful. I said, oh, I'm going to buy this and put it above our bed. Because, you know, it's romantic, it's passionate, you know, and your bed is, you know, that's your place with your husband. So I did, and I bought it, and it was there for a few months. When the cleansing began, one night, we're in the bed, and the Lord, during this cleansing, at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, he used to wake us up and start praying, and it was incredible. And one day, as we're praying, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, as we're praying, right there in the bed, we used to just sit up in the bed and my knees like this, and we would just sit there and pray. And all of a sudden, as I look up, the Lord said, get rid of that piece of art. And I'm looking up, but it's so pretty. You know, women, we're like, That's how he tempted Eve, through the beauty of her eyes. Okay, listen, look at this. So he has to gain legal ground. He has to find a place in you, in your heart, in your life, to gain legal ground. How does he do that? Us women, we like pretty things. we look at things. So he tries to bring the beautiful things. Even an ugly flower pot, he'll make it look like it's the Rose of Sharon or something. Okay? Because he wants to gain a place in you to be able to get in and mess up the tower of your mind. So I'm looking, I said, oh, but it's so pretty. He says, get rid of it. Because that type of painting, oriental, resemble concubines and what is it the geishas and things like that. So the next day, sure enough, I took it off in the morning. No, as a matter of fact, we didn't wait. I told my husband, Lord said to get rid of that. No question. He said, okay. Brought it down, took out the painting, took it out, rolled it up, tore it into pieces, threw it away. It cost me $250. But after that, I said, what was more worth, my life, my marriage, my home, or that stupid $250 painting? I threw it out. I threw it out. Another story I will tell you, and this is for those of you who might think, well, I'm too old for this. It doesn't matter. I got to tell you of a couple who was in their 80s, very vibrant, and they traveled all over. They would travel to Korea, to China, to Japan, and all that. And they would bring back things into their home. And one day, they both began, 80 years old, they both began to have lustful thoughts. All of a sudden. You know, it's like the spirit of self-gratification and spirit of lust, and they began to have these thoughts. We're human. I don't care. Listen, I want to be 90 and still kicking someplace. Okay? I say, as I grow, I want to keep a couple of things. My hair, my eyes, my teeth, and maybe a couple of other things in between. Because, hey, you know, Abraham did it and Sarah did it. I can do it too. They, you know, one day there's 1,000 before the Lord. So I do not put anything past God when it comes to our life. God is the God of everything, even of age. Okay? He's, you know, the Ancient of Days. So they began to have lustful thoughts. Lo and behold, to make a long story short, they went to a deliverance minister, a deliverance worker, and the first thing she started to tell them, you know, what do you have in your home? And they started to tell them they have these things, that things. And then they started to explain that they had this, like this coffee table that they had brought, a beautiful table with carvings in it. And she explained to her, what are the carvings? She says, well, it's the woman, and they dress, and they have the white face, and all that. She says, those are geishas. She says, you need to take that out of your house because it's unclean, and that has brought demonic spirits into your home of lust and of the flesh. You have to get rid of it. She went, she got rid of it. The spirit of lust was gone. The spirit of self-gratification was gone. The spirit of obscenity was gone. The spirit of pornography was gone. Everything was gone. Spirits attach themselves to each thing. How do you cleanse your home? You go into prayer, and you start looking around, and you start asking the Holy Spirit, what is here that is creating any problem in my home? What are you going through? What are the symptoms of your problem, of your concern? What are the symptoms of your children? What are the symptoms of your husband? The Holy Spirit will endow you with intelligence and enough thoughts, Holy Spirit-filled thoughts, kingdom thoughts that will allow you to point out and see what's there. And if he tells you to get rid of it, I don't care if it costs you $1,000, get rid of it. Because your life is worth more. If he tells you to just cleanse it, you can lay hands on it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Anything unclean that has been put on this, I clean it in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, cleanse it in the name of Jesus and let it now be blessed. That's how you maintain your home clean. Do it continuously. Anoint your windows. Anoint your door. You know, when people come in my house, sometimes you have people coming in our house, workers or anybody else, even family. When they come in your house and you know they're coming, anoint your door. And you say, Lord, the person can come in, but any other spirit got to stay out. Because the blood of Jesus is on this door. The anointing of the Lord, the guardian angel, the warring angel is at that door. Just like he was placed in the Garden of Eden, he's at your door. Just like the blood of Jesus kept all the Israelites' children from being killed, the blood is at your door. And if you forget to do it on the way in, when they come in, on the way out, pray for your home. And let all those spirits come out. Don't give them legal right. Sometimes we can give them legal right. We have to take away the legal right. So in your mind, you must be strong and have it renewed in the Spirit of the Lord. So he comes in through the temptation. That's dart number one. I know you've ever played darts. You always want to get to the center, right? But even if you don't get to the center, that dart sticks to that dartboard. So when the enemy throws the dart, He may not hit you directly in your mind, but he's going to hit some part of you that's going to hurt. And it, one of the darts is temptation. Another dart is deception. I have seen Satan beat up more Christians than I care to admit. If we allow deception to take hold, strongholds can then be formed in our minds. Strongholds, you know what strongholds are? They are incorrect thinking patterns based on falsehood. He lies to you. He lies to you. He'll tell you, your husband is not at work. Then you call your husband. He's wondering, why are you calling me? I just wanted to see if you were doing okay. There's a falsehood. He creates darts. He creates deception. He brings lies to you. Okay? Your children. Sometimes he'll bring lies about your children to deceive you. And then what happens is you break a bond that's there with your children. I know sometimes with my daughter, you know, I'm raising her, and sometimes I ask the Holy Spirit to always, not sometimes, always, Lord, give me revelation. I like what the brother Clement said this morning. Not for information, but for formation. Okay? But many times I judge her by what I went through. And sometimes we judge our children by what we went through. See, there's a two-sided thing to this. You can judge them by what you went through in the spiritual sense. I judge her by what I went through because I know the curses that can be there at a certain age. See, there are dormant spirits. I have heard parents here and in many places who said, my child was wonderful. Oh, I brought him up. And then all of a sudden, she or he hit 16 and it's like all hell broke loose. He became a drug addict or this or an alcoholic or a womanizer. I don't know what happened. If you start going back to your family line, you may start seeing either something happened to you at that age or a family member, an uncle, your father, your mother, your parents, your sisters, your brothers, all that, because there are dormant spirits. Even now, in many of you, there are dormant spirits, and I bind them and I cast them out in the name of Jesus. There are dormant spirits that even if you're 70, 80 years old, they're waiting till you get to a certain age, and all of a sudden you have Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or diabetes or all these things set in because they're dormant waiting for that exact age to just pop out and take over your life. But if you have taken away the legal ground and you call it out in the name of Jesus and you bind those curses in Jesus' name from your parents' past, from way back, you can then begin to live a fruitful life. Deception is a terrible dart that the enemy uses to try and control you, to try and fool you. You know what he does, another deception? Guilt. He makes you to be a guilt-ridden person and worthless, not making you see what you're worth. He starts reminding you of your past. Isn't it horrible when somebody reminds you of your past, especially if it's a past you don't even want to think about? I got to a point where when the enemy reminds me of my past, I turn around and I try to remind him of his future. You know why? Because the past can bring you downhill. You could be in the happiest mood. And all it takes, that's why you cannot be conformed to the ways of the world. All it takes is for you to turn on a radio station in your car, flip through, all of a sudden some nice oldie romantic song comes out, and you... your mind goes back to the past. Oh, when I was in love with Charlie, why didn't I marry him instead of the one I got now? And he starts taking you to your past and starts making you regret. And worse than that, he starts making you feel guilty. Deception. He's deceiving you to try and gain a foothold in your mind. I know the mistakes I made when I was bringing up my son, Jamel, who's 31 years old. And for many years, I stood there and said, I wish I hadn't, if I only had known then what I knew now, I wish I hadn't done this, I wish I hadn't said that. It got to a point where I was really tormented because I felt guilty. I felt he's in the condition he's in because I didn't do this. And I had to stop one day. I had to stop and say, no, you know, it happened, it's over. I made the mistakes, I didn't know better, but God knew better. God knew what I didn't know then, but he knows what I know now. My daughter said it this morning very nicely. She said, you keep going through your problems and you take a detour, you go out of God's path, and then you have to come right back to the same path, to square one, where he wanted you to be in the first place, but you learned a lesson on your way. So I learned a lesson. What I didn't get to do with him that God gave me, now he gives you knowledge. Now I pray for him, for those spirits to come out, but then I take a different route in raising my daughter. Okay? Which to me was terrible, because I used to say the same thing. I never said I wish I didn't have a daughter, but I used to say, if I ever have a daughter, I am going to be so afraid because of all the things that I went through in my young age, all the horrible things that I went through with family members and all that. I say, girls are so hard to take care of. You got to watch them. And I used to watch her and everything. And I watched the steps when I'm 16, when she was 17, when she was 12, when she was 7. I made sure, you know, I watched. Lord gives you a watchful eye because of what you learn. You don't use your past for destruction. Use your past to gain knowledge, to set free. Remember what I said at the beginning? You have now been set free from generational curses. Now it's time to guard your blessing. Guard the generational blessing. So when the enemy comes to give you all this guilt, how many have gone through that? How many have gone through that? You go through that guilt? Sister, you over there, you go through a lot of that. The enemy tries to put that in. You got to just toss it out of your mind. And like I said, remind him of his future, but don't let your past dictate who you are in the present. You are a new creature. We are a new creature in Christ. My past, I'm there to learn from it. I can learn from my mistakes, but I will not let it rule me. Because the one that rules me is Jesus Christ. He's the one that gives me the victory. You cannot let things and deceptions come to you. Some people, I know that some people have come here and say, oh, you know, I'm being plagued by this and I'm being plagued by that. Many times those are deceptive spirits that you have been set free, but you don't want to let yourself be set free. I've seen people here and in many churches where the enemy, I have seen the demons come out, and by the time they walk out of the deliverance ministry, they're just pulling them right back in because guilt is driving them. Because an obsession, they don't want to let it go. If God has set you free, you got to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Say it. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. You can't continue to be set free. Once you have been set free, then you got to go into the teaching. What did I say? You got to stay free. How do you stay free? Find a deliverance church. Find a deliverance ministry. Learn about the deliverance. Buy the books. They're there. Learn from them. Don't come here, be set free, and then in September, I think they have Labor Day camp, you're coming back in here with the same spirits, being prayed for again. And then come Thanksgiving Day camp, I'm back here with the same spirits, being laid on and on again. And then December comes by again, and before you know it, July camp comes by next year, and you're still walking in here with the same spirits. So who's setting you free? God is setting you free. And you're allowing these spirits to deceive you and hang around you. Let them go. Tell them you are gone, 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 gone. Enter into the glory of the Lord. No, what did he say? Unto the glory of the Lord. Not into, unto the glory of the Lord. You can't keep being bound by the same spirit. There's new spirits that come, new demons that come, but let it be the new ones. Because we're always going to be in a spiritual warfare. The enemy is relentless, like a roaring lion. There's only two lions that could never be yoked together. The lion of the tribe of Judah and the lion of the pit. They will never be yoked together. We are part of the lion of the tribe of Judah. If he's roaring, my lion roars bigger. And I can eat that one up because I come. You come in the name of Jesus Christ. You cannot let the enemy deceive you and tell you you're not free. People have come in here, they have been set free, and then they walk away. I don't think I'm free. I think it's still there. Well, if you think it's still there, then it's still there. Because you're calling him, you're inviting, you're giving him legal right. But when you go and you say, it's not here, it's not here, he's going to try and keep pushing into your mind, and it's not here, it's not here. In the name of Jesus, you have been cast out. All legal right, if I gave you legal right, it has now been taken away from you in the name of Jesus. He cannot come in. He's going to keep knocking, knocking. You know, I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. Okay? I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. Okay? So we have a I don't know. I just, him whom Christ has set free is free indeed. I can't imagine myself going back to the same bondage I had 25 years ago or 30 years ago when I accepted the Lord. I can't. I used to be in the church and many years, and I would see people in the same condition. If they had a spirit of pride, it was still there. They had a spirit of arrogance, it was still there. And I remember I had to tell my husband, I don't want to be 20 years in the Lord and be in the same condition as when I first came in. I said, it's got to be horrible. I said, then where is the joy? Where is the peace that's supposed to be there? I want to fight the battle, but I want to fight the battle with strength, but with peace. With knowledge, but with peace. Because when you have peace in your heart, in the tower of your mind, those military forces will always be around your mind. Okay? You will have moments of doubt. Moments. Moments. Not days and months and years. Moments. And a moment to you might be 1 week, but to the Lord has only been 1 minute. Okay? To the Lord has only been 1 minute. But in human terms, it could be a week. But that's okay. Because you are in the fire. You are in the storm. And God doesn't come and just pull you out of the storm. He goes in the storm with you. He goes in the fire with you. And He says, I'm here. Remember the three men in the fiery furnace? Yeah. The angels didn't go in and pull them out. The angels went in with them. So when you're going through those trials, your children are messed up. Your husband might be strained a little. Your job might be on jeopardy. There's talk. They're laying off people. And you're like, oh. The angels of the Lord are in that fiery furnace with you. The angels of the Lord are in the lion's den with you. They're not going to pull you out, but they're going to be there to guard you. They're going to make you strong. They're going to give you strength. They're going to act upon your faith. See, the angels came in there because of their faith. Your faith activates the angels in your life. You want to see angels activate in your life? Your faith is what activates those angels. They can come around because they are pleased. The Lord is looking down saying, I am pleased. Go. So I tell you again, deception. Dart number 3, and I think I covered a little bit, accusation. In Revelations 12:10, it says that the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. Satan is known to be the accuser of the brethren. He's not the accuser of the sinners of the world. He doesn't go before the Lord to accuse the sinners. He goes before the Lord to accuse you. He is the accuser. So he's constantly accusing you. He accuses us, and like I said before, by reminding us of our past, of our sins, and of our failures. If we listen to his accusations against us, it won't be long before we feel guilt-ridden and see ourselves our failures. Both of these things have already been dealt with on the cross. Okay? If we pay attention to his accusations, you know what happens? They form a stronghold in our mind. They need to be torn back before we can experience freedom. And I go back to tell you, defend your hill of beans. I round it out. Do not be deceived. Deception comes in when you get a spirit of complacency. You get a spirit of fear. You relax yourself. Oh, I'm fine. There's sometimes the Lord gives you a little R&R. That's fine. Everybody's entitled. Every military soldier is entitled to a little R&R. My husband and I take it once in a while. The camp here once in a while takes a little R&R in between all these camp meetings. But do not become complacent. In your rest, do not become complacent. So do these four things. To stand your ground, to defend your hill of beans. Do not be deceived. Do not disobey. And here is where many of us can fall. Do not disobey the authority that God has given you. God has given us authority. If we disobey that authority, then all those darts will start hitting at us. We have the authority. You have the authority to cast them out. You can't sit there and say, oh, I can't do this. Oh, I can't do this. Who was it? Somebody said here, I think it was Tammy this morning. couldn't, but God could? Yeah, when she went flying? Yeah, sometimes I can't do it, I can't do it. Do not disobey the authority. How many have learned during this? How many have been here since Tuesday? How many have been able to attend at least two out of the three or four teachings that have been given? You guys, I have. And I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor. And worse than that, I'm a pastor's wife. So you got to do both things. And I'm coming out of here stronger. You know why? Because the faith builds up even more. The faith gets rekindled. We came in here with a spirit of tiredness and weariness. And we're like, you know. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you honestly, I didn't even come here to think that this was happening. I told my, you know, my daughter was coming to be a counselor. And I'm in my mind, I had been going through, I was tired. So to me, it was like, you know, this is going to be my R&R. I said, I'll just bring Angela, drop her off over there like a hot potato. Let them do what they're going to do. I'm thinking it's just strictly youth. And I told my husband, and, you know, we'll either stay at the camp or stay in a hotel and, you know, we'll do our thing. Little did I know that the adults were going to be ministered to just as much as the youth. Thank you, Brother Glenn. Thank you, Brother Glenn. Little did I know that I was, and the first night we got here, the second Tuesday night, Brother Chip, God bless him, Lord spoke, and I heard. We heard. The second day, Brother Ron, the Lord figured, okay, I know last night I spoke and you heard, but today I'm really going to give it to you. And at 12 noon, just when I think he was closing up, Brother Ron just closes everything up, runs right to my husband and me, and boom, gives the prophetic word. I say, wow, God, you really working on us. See, I have been blessed. I have been refreshed. I have been re-anointed, a refreshing. Okay, we needed that. We needed that. And if you that came here, you can't leave. It's impossible for you to leave in the same condition that you came. I don't care if you came here for just one night. You can't leave. If you go to Sunday service, you should not come out of that Sunday service in the same condition that you went in. You know when you come out the same way? When you sit there and the enemy has deceived you, he has taken over the tower of your mind. He has dropped your tower. He has taken over the tower. He has gone into your heart, dropped your values, and then he has gone into your hands, and now all your hands is just do around, sit idly, doing nothing. And then you come out the same way. You go in like this, and you come out like this. You do. But if you sit there, and I love Brother James' testimony. Doesn't matter what church you go to. They're preaching the word of God. And Jesus is, if they're not against us, they are for us. Because the preacher doesn't give me the anointing. The preacher does not lead me into the truth. The word leads you to the truth. So if you walk into any church that preaches Jesus Christ as the resurrected Christ that died on the cross and resurrected, and you sit there and you don't look at anyone or at anything, just sit there and keep your ears in tune, you are going to be set free. Because what sets you free is the word. Because the word, the truth, casts out the lie. If you have been in a spirit of lie, the truth casts out that spirit of lie. And you are set free. I remember a testimony of a young lady that told me that she took her mother. It was in Texas, as a matter of fact. And her mother is real Pentecostal, you know, real banging, and speaking in tongues and knocking out chairs. And that's what she's used to, you know, seeing all that. So her daughter said, you know, Mom, we're going to a church and it's not like the church you go to. So her mother says, oh, okay. So as soon as she walks in with her mother, she had me laughing. As soon as she walks in, her mother's like, they're wearing earrings. They're wearing makeup. They're wearing pants. She says, Mom, I told you, it's not your church. Like in New York, it's not the Pentecostal church, you know, long sleeves, long pants. I mean, not long, long skirts, high necks, long tongues. Anoint on some of those tongues. And her mother's like, oh, yeah. She says, Mom, they don't sing like they do in your church. They're not, you know, you go to some of these, and I know I go to Pentecostal churches in New York, especially Hispanic ones. The music, you can't hear the words. You're like, what are they saying? Bang, bang, bang. And you can't feel refreshed because you don't hear the words. You can't even sing the words. And the word, those hymns that are there that Sister Jane sings, those hymns are words from here. And they can be spoken, they can be sung. Either way, it's the truth. And the truth sets you free. And there is nothing greater that God wants than your praise. I always tell people in my church, during the worship service, during worship, you are free to sing, yell, dance in the aisles, jump, I don't care. Start in the flesh, but end up in the spirit. And you see it, and I see in my church, the ladies in the aisles, they dance. There's one lady, at first everybody was like, oh, she's annoying. I said, people got to learn how to worship. The woman is so pleased with God. She's so grateful to God that she sits in the moment they saw she's in the aisle. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. She hears nothing. She sees nothing. All she sees is the Lord. And she's with her tambourine. And sometimes we have people that will come in and look. Finally, we got everybody. Stop looking and get into it. Become a part of it. And before you know it, the whole church, we started to teach them. Worship is worship. When the speaker gets up, shut your mouth. Except if you're going to praise and say an occasional amen because you agree with it. Open your ears and stay sitting down. It should not be a bathroom break unless you really got to go. Even the kids. Because you walk out for that, you don't know what you're going to be missing. I don't want to miss anything. I love coming here, and I told my husband, I said, I like the respect that is demonstrated here towards the speakers. And I love and I really appreciate the way everybody is getting something. I have been to churches where if the speaker is not an eloquent speaker and he's just, you know, speaking from his heart or she, and you see them, they're like, was he ever going to finish? And you see them, you know, you hear the murmuring spirit. And I said, because they're that's a spirit of selfishness, self-centeredness. They're more into, I want to get to the nitty-gritty of what God has to say to me. Well, God is probably saying to you something to you right through that person that's speaking in the soft words or the testimony or whatever. You're not listening. Again, my daughter said it this morning. She said, sometimes we walk and we want to see where God is taking us. She said, sometimes we don't need to see. We just need to be sensitive to hear where God is telling us to go. Not to see and follow Him, but to hear where He's telling us to go. And we sit here, and I like it here because I'm sitting in the front, but I'm feeling in the back that everybody's just in tune with the worship. And Sister Jerry had me hysterical because if she doesn't know the song, she goes, la, 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 la. So I think it was yesterday, there was a part, or this morning, I told my husband, the words didn't come up in time, so I'm just following the music. I said, I'm gonna pull a Jerry McGee. I'm like, la, 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 until the words came up, and oh, there they go. I started singing. But you see, I learned. Even with something simple as that, because usually you would just sit there waiting for the words to come up, and you're like, now I said, I don't have to sit and wait. Now I can go, la, 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 until the words come out. So I'm still praising. So you learn something from every little thing. The point is that la, 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 instead of me sitting there with my mouth closed, now I'm praising the Lord with the la, 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 la. I'm making a sound. And that sound, it says everything that has breath, praise the Lord. So if I hum it or la, 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 la it, I'm still praising the Lord. So, you know, it's being sensitive and not looking with, I bind the spirit of criticism. I bind the spirit of self-centeredness. And I open up the spirit of our ears. I open up the spirit of the Lord to just work in our hearts so that in every service you go to, in your church, whatever church, if it's the spirit of the Lord and if they're not preaching against us, they are for us. And if the word is giving you the truth, forget about everybody. I think I chased a rabbit here, right? Getting back to the story of the lady with her mother. So she walks in and she's like, the music is not the same. She goes, Mom, Mom, please, please. Just close your eyes. Don't look at anyone. Don't look at anything. Don't look at the music. Don't look at the people, please. She's like, oh, okay, okay, okay. Mom, just close your eyes. Let the spirit just work. And, you know, her mother's still like nudging her. She goes, Mom. Finally, her mother said, okay. So she just closed her eyes. And sure enough, she said, within 10 minutes of her just closing her eyes, she started falling into the worship. And then Her spirit was now renewed. Her spirit, that spirit of criticism and everything, came out. And all of a sudden, she calmed. The spirit of the Lord entered in. The spirit of worship, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of hearing entered into her life, into her soul, into her spirit. And she was able to enjoy the service. I don't know if it was a Baptist church, whatever it was, but it was a church. Wherever they preach the word of Christ and the resurrected Christ, that's where we can all be. She got into it. But you see, she had to fight for it. We have to fight to defend my hill of beans. It's my hill of beans. Say it. It's my hill of beans. And I'm going to stand my ground to defend my hill of beans. So that's a good title for today. It's stand your ground, and then in parentheses, by being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay? Stand your ground. Let us rise to our feet. Oh, no, you know what? Sit down. I like it sitting down. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. Sit down. Now we're going to rise to their feet in a few minutes. I'm going to do something here in the name of Jesus. How many are going to fight for your ground? Got to fight for that ground. You got to do not, oh, I want to finish it. Do not be deceived. Stand your ground. Defend your hill of beans, your life, your home, your children. One, do not be deceived by being complacent or afraid. Do not disobey the authority that God has given you. Do defend your ground. Do defend it. This you must do. And last, do destroy the works of Satan. Okay, Lord, where are you? While I find it, I want you to repeat this with me. I will stand my ground and defend my hill of beans because it's my hill. And I will defend my ground. I will not be deceived. I will not disobey the authority that God has given me. I will defend my ground. I will destroy the works of Satan. Amen. Just let me look through here because there is something. Holy Spirit of God, I bind it in the name of Jesus. And I will find it in the name of Jesus. Okay. Amen. If you have received deliverance, you are on your road to victory. Or I change that. You are on the victory road. You're not on the road. You are on the victory road. But today, let us close our eyes and realize that our home is our ground. That is our hill. That is where we will minister. We are the ministers. You as women of God are a Proverbs 31 woman. You are the ministers of your home. The Proverbs says that a wise woman shall edify her home and a foolish one destroys it. So in the name of Jesus this morning, I bind and I cast out in Jesus' name any spirit of accusation. I tell you to come out in Jesus' name. Any spirit of paranoia, in the name of Jesus, you cast it out of yourself in the name of Jesus. Any spirit of fault-finding, of bitterness, spirit of hatred, any spirit of finger-pointing, any spirit of slander, I bind you and I cast you out in the name of Jesus. And I command you to come out of the women that have been called by God, women of God, women that have been called to be ministers in their home. You have no right, and any legal right that has been given unto them, Lord, we take it away in Jesus' name. Satan, we bind you and we take away any legal right that has been given to you. If you have found any place through any of these sins, we bind you in Jesus' name. We bind the spirit of rebellion, the spirit of treachery, the spirit of torment, the spirit of criticism, the spirit of hurt, the spirit of mind control, we bind you and cast you out. The spirit of domination, the spirit of shame, that spirit of shame, we bind you and cast you out. That spirit of guilt from past sins, we bind you and we tell you to come out. That spirit, that doormat spirit, making others walk all over a person and walk all over you, we bind that doormat spirit in the name of Jesus. We bind that spirit of unforgiveness towards your family, towards your friend. Yawn it out, cough it out in the name of Jesus. We bind that spirit of memory recall that brings anguish. We bind the spirit of anguish. We bind the spirit of orphans in our life. We bind it in the name of Jesus. We bind the spirit of bondage. We bind the spirit of aimlessness that have us roaming through our homes, not knowing what to do. Sometimes we're in our homes and we're like in La La Land, right in our homes. We bind that spirit of aimlessness and we take control over our home in the name of Jesus. We bind the spirit of indecision in Jesus' name. That indecisive spirit that doesn't let us, that makes us waverers instead of strong women in the Lord. We bind that spirit of indecision. We bind that spirit of no understanding of the word. Lord, in Jesus' name, we loosen the spirit of Bible reading, the spirit of prayer. We loosen the spirit of understanding of the word, and we bind the spirit of no understanding. Give us as women of the word, as your woman, as your Deborah, O Lord, give us understanding of your word. Let it be strong in our hearts. Let us raise up the flag of victory. We bind the spirit of untruth. We bind the spirit of all false doctrine. We bind that anemic spirit in Jesus' name. We bind it in the name of Jesus. We bind that mind-controlling spirit that wants to control a woman's mind because the woman, a wise woman, edifies the home. We bind, O Lord, the spirit of foolishness in the name of Jesus. And we loosen the spirit of wisdom upon the towers of our mind, O Lord. We loosen the spirit of wisdom upon the towers of our mind, O Lord. We bind the mind-binding spirits in Jesus' name. We bind the spirit of confusion. And we bind that spirit of forgetfulness that allows us to forget where you have brought us from. And we bind the spirit of forgetfulness in Jesus' name so that we may remember where we have been brought out, that we have been blood bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We bind the spirit of intimidation. We will not be intimidated by any spirit that comes to accuse us and to tell us that we are worthless. We bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. Just cast it out. Yawn it out. Do whatever you got to, but blow it out in the name of Jesus. Let it not control you anymore. We bind that spirit of bitterness. Oh, and somebody here, we bind that spirit of melancholy. We cast out that spirit of melancholy that keeps you in bondage, and it keeps telling you that you're no good, that you're worthless. Get that melancholy spirit out of your body, out of your soul. Oh, in the name of Jesus, spirit of melancholy, we tell you now to come out. We order you to come out in the name of Jesus. We bind the spirit of despair, the downcast spirit. And last but not least, Lord, we sever the tentacles of mind control. We sever that octopus spirit that has taken control over the towers, over our mind, over our hearts, and over our hands, Lord. And we loosen, Lord, our hands to go to the plow, O Lord Jesus, to take control of our homes, of our life, of our mind in the name of Jesus. And we loosen, O Lord, the spirit of the wife, the spirit of the mother upon every single woman seated here today, my Lord Jesus. We loosen, O Lord, your spirit of forgiveness so that every one of us here can forgive all our past failures, can forgive all our past deceptions, and that we can become new creatures, new women, a true woman of God. Let us raise the banner of your love first over ourselves, Lord, and then the banner of love over our children, over our home. Lord, we loosen the spirit of love so that we may love our homes. We loosen that hoarding spirit. We loosen the spirit of clutter in our homes. Let us go home, O Lord, and cleanse our homes, not only spiritually, but cleanse our homes of all clutter. We bind that spirit of clutter and that spirit of hoarding newspapers and hoarding all bottles and cans. We bind those spirits in the name of Jesus from the backyard, from the portico, from the attic, from the front yard. We cleanse the grounds around our home, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Let there be green grass, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Let there be fresh herbs, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Create a new garden, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let our homes be cluttered free in Jesus' name. We bind, O Lord, O spirit of piggishness and foul odors in our home, and we bring, O Lord, we loosen the fragrance of the Spirit of God within our homes. Let our homes be blessed Be a haven, O Lord, where our husbands, where our families, when our friends, when they walk in, they will feel, O Lord, the anointing. They will feel a freedom in their life, in their spirit, O Lord. But let that freedom begin with us in Jesus' name. Make us deliverance ministers, Lord, by the grace of your love and the power and the authority that has been given unto us. We grab onto it in the name of Jesus, my Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, yeah, let's sing it. Well, let's put some lala in it. Amen. I like that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And even as we're singing that, remember, in the praise, you can be set free. Stand your ground in the name of Jesus. Stand your ground, la 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 la. Stand your ground. Yes, amen. La 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 la. Stand your ground for in the blessing. Stand your ground for in the blessing. Stand your ground for in the blessing. Amen. Praise God. So, woman of God, stand your ground. Fight for your blessing, for the valiant are the ones that will go forward on that road to victory. Be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.